I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
Pretty dope. I want to hear that.
All right, guys.
It's pretty dope. Here we go.
It's nice. It's nice.
We want These you guys to feel amazing. Pretty because that's what this is about.
Oh, I appreciate it. Feel pretty.
Yes, welcome to the podcast, Zach and Nathaniel.
We just say a little bit. We just do a little thing like that to indicate who's here. As usual, Wendell, Delia, and myself are all represented in the old...
Normally, we like to play a guessing game throughout the entire, 80 minutes that the podcast is. It's like, who are we talking to? You don't know.
We'll never know.
But
technically, a lot of people on the internet might not know.
Well, regardless, that's where we found the hiccup. Yeah, that's where we decided we were messing up. So, yeah. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves and...
No.
Say what you're wearing.
Okay.
Just say what you're wearing.
I'm wearing an extra large button-down pink short sleeve shirt that is patterned with
You can't even say marlins. There's a consistency. No. There's marlins.
There's
tuna.
Several swordfish.
There's tuna. Yeah, there's... Well, marlins and swordfish.
What is that?
Kinda.
That's like a...
That's a barracuda.
Barracuda.
What is that? Oh, got your nose.
For everyone listening at home, Zach just got Nathaniel's nose. We don't want you guys to be missing out on all the fun here.
Special link to the video that they do called Got Your Nose.
Yeah, that was a shameless plug.
Yeah.
Point that out. You would have thought of that way over here.
No, that was improv.
Hey!
That's what brings us all together. There's a mahi-mahi on your shirt as well.
I love mahi-mahi. Yeah. I bought a bunch of frozen mahi-mahi last time I went to HEB, and it lasted me like a month.
Some want to say that that's a dolphin, and I want to say you guys don't know what dolphins are.
What, that one?
Well, there's no dolphins on here.
No. Mahi-mahi, I've heard, is classified as a dolphin.
Oh. What?
Oh, no, you're not supposed to eat dolphin, right? I mean, they're the overlords of the earth, correct?
I mean,
dolphins.
For the sake of vengeance, no, you shouldn't eat a dolphin. But if you're not worried about, you know, the uprising, then yeah, go ahead and eat dolphin. It's better for you. I've heard it's brain food.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
smart.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the challenge in catching regular fish when you can catch really smart dolphins, you know what I mean?
It's like the most dangerous game.
Yeah.
It's a Rubik's Cube of the ocean.
Water sports. Yeah.
Zach, how did you learn how to make mahi-mahi? Like, when was it in your life that someone was like, oh, hey, and by the way, here's a recipe that you can use in your life? Because I'll be honest, I'm older than you. I don't think I've ever eaten, seen mahi-mahi ever.
Well, it was frozen mahi-mahi. It was just fillets. Vacuum sealed.
Wait, did you ever work in a kitchen or anything, like in a restaurant?
I've worked in several restaurants. I'm a server, and my last job at a resort, I worked closely with the kitchen, so I saw a lot of it and picked a lot of it up.
Oh.
So I do like to cook. And mahi-mahi, I just looked up a quick recipe, and it said bake it. So I did that.
It's this big book.
The quickest recipe.
It up, and it says bake it.
And just font 100.
Yeah.
Times Roman numeral.
Ulysses size novel.
A-K-E-I-T. This is a good book. I like that book. That was an excellent book.
I got it on a deeper level.
Yeah, no.
But you did it.
I've written three essays on this book.
This has been my thesis.
The thesis, yeah.
You just bake it.
It was a dissertation written.
And I just painted some sauce on the fish, and I popped it in the oven.
Huh.
And I just made some, I don't know, some vegetables.
Sometimes I feel like some people are more comfortable just, winging cooking. And maybe because you spend some time in a kitchen, but I am, so not okay with cooking. Everything I do, when I make something, I make it with, insane detail. Like, I can bake really well because you have to measure things out and it only works one way or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, cooking, with spices or whatever, I don't know. I'm the worst. I can't do it.
We cook a lot.
I cook a lot.
Yeah.
You cook a lot.
Wait, you guys live together?
We do.
Yeah.
And you guys cook together, obviously. As Zach would say,
we take turns. That's what I was trying to clarify.
We take turns. Yeah. He cooks his own dinner, then I cook mine.
It sounded like a team effort there for a second.
Sometimes.
We cook a lot.
What'd you say, Delia? Did you ask about throwing?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, yeah, do you guys, like, throw stuff over each other's, like, oh, like shoulder? Like,
pop, yeah, it's like short order eating. Cook precision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, pop that
We're
in.
Like twin chefs.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Nathaniel.
I'm also
You've
wearing
been
a
large the whole time
shirt.
To introduce yourself?
Yeah.
What are you wearing? Tell us all.
And oh, tell us about
We're in size 32, Levi 513s, blue socks with army men on them. Brown dress shoes. Check out these socks, y'all.
Okay, no,
it's yeah, very that, nice.
Oh, they're army men.
Yeah. wearing a white polyester cotton hybrid shirt from a thrift store that I got. Box? I got this shirt.
Great shirt.
I wore it acting in a movie in New Orleans, and then I stole it when the production was over from my friend. And there's little amoeba designs on it that are red and blue.
It borders on paisley, but
yeah,
without
I thought it was
all
paisley.
The other stuff.
Oh
it's
God.
Like a pre-evolutionary stage of paisley.
Delia has opinions on paisley? That
no,
I'm
no.
Aware.
We just said the same thing at the same time.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. We've been having some mild kismet
all
throughout
right, okay.
the...
So
is that the right word?
What's
maybe.
The word you used?
Kismet.
I'm not sure what that is.
Well, I mean, I know the kismet is sort of like serendipity.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so it's more like synchronicity, you guys are.
Okay.
Like avoided
okay.
synchronicity.
Wendell, yes. you're like the most sober person in the room. That's so
I'm,
nice.
I'm. That is not. If that is the case, then you guys should Uber home. Everybody that drove here. Because.
Somebody drive you here?
No, I drove here. But
oh, okay.
not to say that I'm drunk, but like the fact that anybody would say right now that they're I'm the most sober person in the room can like would conclude to me that
Are you high off of comedy?
you did just have a show.
Yeah. Yeah. I am completely hitting rock bottom on the high from comedy. like I've gotten so high on comedy that I'm like selling body parts for comedy now.
Which
yeah,
ones?
No, I'm like pawning things out for comedy.
His funny bone, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. First, that's the first one to go. And
boom.
Then it's real downhill from there.
Yep.
Yeah. We have
I've
Amy
watched
just, like,
every
process
dirty,
it.
Racist, horrifying sketch. I mean, improv
oh,
show written, created by Pilot's License. Most people, really. I mean.
No. Yeah. No,
I don't know.
Like Pilot's License, we really get the monster out.
The monster.
That's what it is. Yeah, yeah. Like we leave the monster in that back room because,
uh-huh.
yeah, yeah. It's just like we're all just goofy dudes that don't take enough seriously sometimes. And yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like it's more just like find that line, and then
you
we
know, it's like a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. Yeah, that's
exactly.
What it,
sheets.
That's what it's like. But
yeah,
they're
yeah.
a lady on stage, and then they're a freak in rehearsal beforehand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she sees the Miss Jackson when we're nasty, you know.
Yeah,
and then we take it Janet up front. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I need you to write that down in a potential review form so that then I can put that on some sort of coaching thing. So it's like, as a coach, she, and then that's what it says. And they're like, huh. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would love for some improv troupe I'd never met before to try to, like, shock me and be like, yeah, come coach us. And be like, all right, no problem. And they try to do something crazy and I'm like, interesting, but why didn't he die at the end? Because really, that was the third beat.
Where's the nudity?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why didn't you pull your dick out?
Yeah. Now, any improv group should be a stallion that needs to be broken by somebody who has, like, real opinions on things. Mm. And,
damn!
Every week.
It's intense.
Every week, we get wild again. And you have to, like, you have to unbridle us a little bit, you know? You have to, like, write us out and show us where it is.
Tough love.
That's like the hottest/unhottest thing ever for five dudes to say to me. Like, you have to ride us till we're ready to go again. And I'm like, yeah.
You meant a less literal way.
Metaphors.
Yeah. Oh, metaphors.
So, guys, you guys have known each other how long? Since high school?
2000. Let's say it was seven. So coming up on 9 years.
Is that high school?
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah, yeah, when did you guys graduate?
I was like, that doesn't remember I told you before, and I'll say this on the recording, that my 20th high school anniversary whatever.
Is this year?
Is this May?
My
crazy.
Tenth, my 10th. My crazy. First reunion.
Your 10th is this year.
My wow. Tenth. They didn't do a 5?
No.
No.
Yeah, we had a 5.
Oh, my 5.
What? Weird. We were did like, hey, go? What's up?
Well, you guys
we
like,
had 5 too, but
I missed my 5.
Zach and I are actually a year apart.
Yeah.
Was it like Vietnam at your high school, Amy?
I don't know what that means.
Well, like in the sense of like you guys got together 5 years like a support group, like, oh man, we did it.
Oh no, actually the school was so small that they would meet by like groups of 10. So it would be like the 5 year reunion, the 15 year reunion, the 25 year reunion, the 35 year reunion. So like all those people would show up because my graduating high school class was 60 people. Oh. So in a reunion setting, 10 of those people show up.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's generally pretty fun when I'm there. But but like, you know.
So you go to all of them.
I've gone to most of them. I have moved away, so I missed like 15 and
wait,
I guess probably 15?
20. So they didn't do a 10 because you went from
they
five,
did 10,
no,
5, 10.
10
I know what I mean, like
5 to 15.
The people, no, I mean, like the people, like I graduated, whatever, like say it's like
96?
The people who graduated in 95 and 90 and 85
gotcha.
And 80, you know, they all, you know, that makes sense.
I bet Delia loves
it. I think I'm lost, too.
I just got lost when you just started talking.
Okay, so here, try this one. Yes, I graduated, and
I didn't
if you were
call
born
you
this
it.
Year, I'll kill you all.
It was
but, like, I graduated high school in 1996. My mom, sorry, Mom, graduated high school in 1966 from the same high school. So our reunions are the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So my class and her class meet on
oh,
the
yeah.
same
oh,
time.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Because we're all the sixes. So all the people that graduated in 66, 76, 86,
oh, okay,
96,
yeah.
2006, and 2016
oh,
are
God.
All...
It sounds like a couple people in this room should have stayed in high school a little longer because their math skills are a little dusty.
No, but it's hard when because I'm talking about like the
well,
fifth reunion, the 15th, and then
yeah,
that confuses
yeah.
guys.
I thought
like,
the first time you had mentioned it, like when all of you get together
yeah.
in like tents, and then I just got lost midway for whatever reason. I also missed when you said 10 years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, yeah, it's, I graduated in 06, so, in alt 6, as they said.
From college.
Back then. No, from high school.
From
2006. We're talking
school.
About college right now?
No, we were talking about
high school.
No,
say,
we were talking about high school. We were talking about high school. In my mind, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm only 10 years. You're junior, Amy, in case you
yep.
thought I was... like, if I graduated college in 2006, then we'd probably be talking about the same things, right? Because I take time in my college. I wouldn't rush through college like other people.
You wouldn't just do the standard 4?
No, I would just drop out immediately, which is what I did. But if I were going to stay there, I would probably stay there for a long time. You know, really, really root myself in.
Yeah, thankfully, even though 96, all right, whatever, high school... I did graduate from college in 2000, and I'm super sorry, but that was awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, 2000, that wasn't a thing. I graduated that year. That's so awesome.
That's
yeah, like,
pretty cool.
Zero. When'd you graduate college? Zero. That's when I did. That's
the year zero.
That's what happened.
Oh, my God.
Boom. I think
the year Jesus comes back.
Graduated high school in 2000, or was it 1989?
What?
And Boy Meets World?
2000 sounds right.
I think they graduated from high school in 2000. I thought it was the coolest thing. I was super jealous. And then I remember
Maybe.
thinking, like, there's no point in doing anything because they already got 2000, so nothing's going to matter. To your words.
I felt
Whoa.
That for all of you. Yeah, I thought that. After I graduated, I was like, sorry, everyone else. Your life is just dumb. You're just beginning
you
the millennium, whatever. Like, who cares about the people in 1910? No one.
Yeah.
No one cares about them.
I mean...
2010, no one cares. No one cares.
The only cool year we had was 2012. You want to talk about a letdown?
Right.
Right? Well,
like, we're still here.
I had a good 2013.
It's your first world ending? Was that the first time that anyone ever told you the world was going to end?
Well,
that
was 2000s was Y2K.
Yeah. In 1999,
oh, yeah.
we all thought, you
we
know,
made,
Prince
we made
was right.
Was that...
Did you?
Sure, about Y2K?
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of. Yeah. It's
Wait,
a short...
you met in 2007, but you made a film about Y2K?
In 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Was it 2007?
Yeah, because
it's
called a doctor. You gotta let that wound heal. You know, we can't just start making fun of Y2K immediately. No.
It's true.
Yeah. A lot of people ate their kids.
We had to wait until it wasn't too soon anymore.
Too soon? Is 15 years the too soon marker?
I think it depends on the number of deaths.
I mean,
yeah, like 9/11.
9/11. How long do we have to wait till we started making 9/11?
Well,
some people, some people flew.
Years.
Yeah, some people. Sorry, that was a terrible choice of words. Some people rush to that opportunity. Flying is kind of the. You fly to it if you run. Yeah.
like running away from the debris.
All right. More Girl Scout cookies. Let's just
so weird.
That was a really fast.
Thank you for
way
bringing Thin Mints. I believe this is the first.
Courtesy of my sister. She's a Girl Scout.
She is.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary Eliza.
Dude, wait, but she's a Girl Scout in Tennessee, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna be like, get some for the theater. Like, we'll sell them.
With the name of Mary Eliza, is like she a Girl Scout in like Little Women?
She's in high school, but she dresses like it's the 1940s.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Ridiculous.
She is like a millennial American girl doll.
Okay, we're not just feeding into my comment, right? Is this?
No, this is true.
This is true.
Yeah.
She doesn't know what a podcast is, so I don't have to worry about her.
She doesn't?
No.
Of course she does. She's smart.
How old is she?
You call your sister stupid?
She's
40.
40?
I hope it's somewhere between those two.
It's
11 and 40.
It's a wide
gap. She'll be turning
Nathaniel Hendricks
18 this year.
Brother of the
18?
Yeah.
How old are you?
So she was,
how many brothers?
She was a Girl Scout. Actually, these were probably bought from the girls down the street or something.
All right.
But she was a Girl Scout.
She used to be a Girl Scout at 18?
I guess. I don't know how it works.
I mean, she'd probably be a troop leader, likely.
Yeah, Marine.
Yeah, she's Marine.
Or
the Girl Scout Marines.
Yeah.
She's a Navy SEAL. Yeah.
She just goes from neighborhood to neighborhood, like, beating up bullies.
Yeah.
Shut up, bitches! Like, bashes them in the head.
And her market, she leaves a cookie stuffed in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
A Samoa.
Yeah, she's either the best Girl Scout or the worst Girl Scout at that point. Because it's like, I don't know, still working that badge.
Yep,
list up, you know.
Do Samoas have peanut butter in them?
Yeah, it's coconut and, like,
and coconut cream
and stuff. Yeah.
It's the best
chocolate
one.
Drizzle. It's so good.
And I didn't bring those because I'm saving them for
like,
me.
Really?
Wasn't
it
really good? If she stuffed the peanut butter ones in people's mouths, horrible peanut allergies are very prevalent.
Well, I'm assuming in this scenario that the people would be dead.
Oh, I thought she just like beat them up a lot.
Oh,
and
then
they were
put
still
a,
alive, and then just like.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So like putting the peanut butter covered cookie in their mouth could also potentially put them through anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, and then it's like they don't fuck with me because
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Level.
See, you thought it was like a calling card as an assassin, basically.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Plus,
okay.
I mean, I'll jump to murder always.
You've already jumped to it twice tonight.
Yeah.
Not counting the first one, because that's easy.
Yeah. Well, no,
it's
earlier
not,
on,
it's
she,
not even
she
that, like, that's
it.
Jumping to it, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Were you a Girl Scout, Dolly?
I went to a meeting. My cousins were Girl Scouts. I was jealous, but no.
End of story.
That's such a good story.
That's a good point.
Community.
Oh.
Togetherness. having rules. And that was about
it. So you need some... You needed some structure in your life.
Yeah.
Is it because you were the child that they didn't pay attention to or take
the
pictures
child
of?
Forgot.
Yeah, I had like 3 third grade teachers.
I don't understand what that means.
Yeah.
We moved around that much.
Oh.
And
three
I had
to the power of three
different
the lines.
Teachers for that 1 year.
Oh.
And
I was
going to
be like, what happened
same.
At your school? You're like, first one shot. Second one.
Oh, I can see that now. No.
Or that was... Or you were bragging. Like... Dude, I was so horrible. They had to keep giving me a different teacher and no one could handle me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
I
thought. Yeah. Were you a bad kid?
No, I was a shy child. I didn't talk to anybody.
Mm. You were shy, but you were the kind of person who would, like, you know, hide, like, 10 thumbtacks in, like, the teacher's seat.
No.
And then you were like, could it be Delia? She's so shy.
No, I stapled my finger and I think I started to cry. And I just cried a lot. I was a prior.
Oh, me too.
Yeah? Yeah.
I was a prior. Horrible.
Did you go to, like, public high school or private high school?
Public.
Public? Co-ed? Mm-hmm. I went to an all-girls Catholic school. That's why I asked.
Are there public...
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. gender-specific high schools? Like, no, if it's not. Public, it's probably...
No, I guess you're... No. It'd be probably be, like, a charter... If that would
yeah, like a girls' public school, is that what you mean? Or like a public school? Yeah. I've never heard of one of those.
That sounds like a great
There's
idea.
Some like,
oh, yeah.
But that just sounds like something we don't have money for.
There were like charter schools growing up in Boston, like Milton Academy.
Okay.
You had to be super smart and then pay a lot of money to go there.
Ah, I gotcha.
But it wasn't religious. It was just intelligence-based. I was sad. Wow. I went to summer camp there always because I was like, I'm smart like you, just only in summers.
I love that. Summer camp.
So how did you guys meet? So you're a year apart. Tell me of the origin story of your friendship.
High school theater. Our teacher was named John Lennon. A joke. His name was John Lennon.
Mm-hmm. Spelled like...
Spelled the same.
Spelled the same.
Wait. Spelled the same as the Beatle or yep. Lennon so, like the...
The Beatle. Lennon, the Beatle. Okay. John Lennon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a production of...
A play of
Inherit the Wind.
It was called Inherit the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
About the Scopes Monkey Trial.
About where they decided whether or not evolution, the theory of evolution, could be taught in public schools.
We were at a Catholic school.
And we were at a Catholic school.
Not in Catholic Church is not in direct opposition to evolution.
Not anymore.
But the play had a lot to say. Play lambasted religion.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, it...
Like, just enough to... That the school would be upset, you know?
In a good way?
Well, it's the most our teacher could get away with. He was always pushing to do hard-hitting plays. And
He did a play about mercy killings, like, 3 years before.
What was it called? Was it about
Whose Life Is It Anyway?
Oh, I hate that play.
But the point is... Yeah, you're just not even certain.
No, it's about a man... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm looking at you because I'm listening.
Because it's about a man who just, He was a paraplegic. Quadriplegic.
Yeah, neck down, man.
Quadriplegic. So he's just lying in a hospital bed the whole time, and he's talking about whether or not to surrender his life.
What's the name of it?
Whose Life Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
And I...
Unfortunately, nothing to do with Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Yeah, there's no improv... There's no
that makes me think of this movie that I watched with Timothy Bottoms, who's... Like, he's in a ton of things in the 70s. You've seen him 1,000 times, I'm sure of it.
One of the VHS I bought has him in it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's about a guy in war who becomes a paraplegic, and like you hear, it's like voiceover of his thoughts
the entire time,
and it's like horrifying.
Is it Johnny Got His Gun?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's a fucked up movie, and it's crazy.
It's based on a book that's like the soldier's like dormant train of thought. I believe it's supposed to be pretty hard hitting.
It's a pretty crazy. I hope that's the VHS you got.
It's not. I got Roller Coaster, which is a film from the 70s about a terrorist who wants to blow up America's most popular amusement ride. So there's like this cop chasing this terrorist around this. I'm hoping on the roller coaster while he's trying to blow it up. I can't wait.
Wait a minute. So
that sounds great.
Even if we're talking about the most popular roller coaster in the world, what is that, 20 people?
Yeah.
So, like, you get the one shot at...
No, but it's all about the symbol of bringing down the roller coaster.
Oh, but I'll be damned. Okay, that's ruining the day for everybody else, I guess. But...
Other people waiting in line. Oh, damn it!
Son of a...
Right,
it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
I've got a kid over here, he's crying.
This is inconvenient for me.
It's this or the carousel. Okay, you guys invested entirely in this ride and had nothing else.
Yeah.
But
the carousel 10 times by now.
Anyway, so we met at this play about the lawyers, and
we each played the opposing lawyers.
We played the opposing lawyers. He played the lawyer who was in favor, the devil, in favor of teaching evolution in schools, and I played
against. You were based on William Jennings Bryan.
Yeah.
I was based on
Ferris Darrow?
Ferris Darrow.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wait, were you guys like plain stated as the devil and...
No.
Okay,
it's just
the
townspeople refer to me as the devil's lawyer.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So did you guys in high school research for these roles?
Well, it happened.
Down
like 45 minutes down
from Chattanooga in Dayton, Tennessee. So we take a field trip down there. Dayton, Tennessee is weird because you cross a line and then all of a sudden you're in a Norman Rockwell painting. Like, as soon as we were into the town limits, I saw this little kid wearing a green striped shirt and, like, ratty denim shorts and Converse with, like, a buzz cut, like, riding his bike. I was like, it's fucking 1957.
Yeah.
This is Stand By Me going on right now.
I thought all so the town hasn't changed.
What I remember in Dayton, right, all the street signs, they were all on post, just on the corners of the street. There were no hanging street lights.
Yeah. It's just like your southern... It's great. But the courthouse is
there. Anyway, so we did that play. And
then hated each other for years. Now, like, what brought you? Did you guys come to Austin together?
We met on the battlefield. He was playing for the Germans. I was playing for the Britons. And,
Are we just equating this to Call of Duty, actually?
I think you're...
Yeah.
Is that a specific memory?
No. Okay.
I made that up. Oh, okay.
Is that wartime? Sorry, you told a true...
Daniel loves war.
I love... No,
and
like,
history.
Hey, I like history.
Excuse me, I put it crude.
Don't love war.
He loves history.
Yeah.
I don't love war.
Who loves war? Other than a person who's really interested in history. Because, like, war is the most interesting part of history, I feel.
Like Truffaut said it's impossible to make an anti-war film. Because no matter what, war appears exciting.
Mm. Yeah. Really? No, I mean, and like, if you're studying history, I feel like you're
catharsis.
The enjoyment I got from like getting into history was like getting to the next war, because like the middle part, it kind of it's less exciting to hear about how everybody's doing well, and more exciting about the...
You know, I realize that affects me even in a narrative way. Like the other day, does everyone watch Walking Dead?
No.
I watched the first... I won't spoil anything.
Oh my god.
All I'm gonna say is there's a moment in it in the last episode where like something happened that I could have been like, oh, I'm so happy that finally happened. And really I was like, what? This is bullshit. Quit kissing each other, you assholes. Stop it. I don't like it when good things happen.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're not hacking each other to bits, I don't want to watch this bullshit. Like, what? So I think you're right. The idea that, like, you know, war is the exciting part. Like, I can't even be happy about things going well for the characters in the shows I like. I'm all like, why aren't you almost dead? I'm upset.
Just die already.
And don't be quick about it. Yeah.
That's me. Want to kill
them? Yeah. Really hurt while you do it.
Someday you guys are going to see like a movie made by me and Quentin Tarantino, and you're going to be like, no, we can't go see that. That's too horrifying
for
a person.
No one talks.
Because she convinced him to go way farther than he ever
Tarantino
thought.
Tarantino is like, Amy, it's too far.
Okay? Tarantino is surrounded by people that are just saying like, hey, dude, chill out. And then Amy was like, fire them all, I know. And then comes in and it's no talking and just painful death for 3 hours.
Oh my god.
Without any explanation or setup whatsoever.
It's just death.
And then just skin falling off those faces and stuff,
Oh man, I'm super horrifying. Oh, earlier we were talking about why I would be interested in the movie about the cloning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Before I went to college, I actually thought, because I'm silly, for a little bit, that I was going to be a scientist.
Oh, hell yeah.
You have the glasses
for it. Amy thought she was going to be a scientist. I was really into...
You can ask questions.
I was really into genetics.
Hey,
and I think that's what led me into the, like, that kind of thing. I was super into, like, the idea of doing genetics and figuring out how to do that and figuring out all of that. Mostly because I was interested in what made up people, which is, I think, then what led me back into theater. But I chose my college in Dallas based on the fact that it had a good genetics program, and luckily it had a good theater program. Because, like, I was there for 3 seconds as a science major, was like, fuck this, and then immediately changed everything to theater.
So you grew up in Boston and then moved to Dallas?
I did.
It's an odd move.
It was an odd move. It was really weird. Everyone in my, like, the idea, like, in fact, in that discussion on Facebook of, like, it's our 20th, people are like, Amy, are you coming back? Because I'm the one who went far away, you know?
The one.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of people that, you know, they live in New England and stuff, but...
I thought you went to school in New York. When did you live in New York?
No, it was in New York after college.
Yeah, yeah. She went, like, I mean, that's where you go if you're really serious about the acting and you nail it.
Right. Los Angeles?
Well, yes, no. I was in, when I was in New York, my primary job was stage manager.
Yeah, okay.
I worked for NYU as a stage manager for a year, and I almost got into stage management as a job, like for Broadway and shit, and I was like, no. I want to be on stage. I want to perform my own stuff, and then I just got a regular job and started doing stand up. And did that for 3 years before moving back to Texas.
Phil Wido.
But yeah. What's up?
Is that his name? Phil Wido.
Phil Wido, yes. Delia was at the Knockout Storytelling event where I actually told the story of the guy who I had a crush on who led me to get involved with comedy.
Did we not talk about that in the last podcast? No, it was pizza.
Pizza Kritsis.
Yeah.
Pizza Kritsis. Because we were like, pizza, why would you call it pizza?
No, I only like to talk about one one guy that I've been in love with per podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. cool. Oh, Zach's going to pee. Is he here? All right, Nathaniel, tell us stuff about Zach.
That shirt is so loud.
So ugly.
It was white first, and then you washed something red with it, right?
Yeah. That's where we're at.
So.
No, that's a great shirt.
So yeah. He's Andrew McCarthy. You're Ducky. Go.
Pretty in Pink, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. Say whatever you're going
to
say.
No, I am Ducky. The second person who's told me that.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you are like you are, but your acting range is much further than John Cryer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking about.
Oh, I just want you to know.
Oh, God.
I don't think you act. I don't think you're an actor
my life like Ducky. Now.
No, fuck that. No. Much better. But. So you guys met, and then you went to different colleges, right?
Yeah, well, he graduated a year before me. Went to college in Georgia.
Oh, you're older?
No,
he's older.
He's older.
Math is hard.
And math has been a recurring theme in this episode so far, I think.
I brought stickers. These are Texas.
The Texas Dog Show.
Yeah, put them on my laptop.
Texas Dog Show stickers.
Thank you.
Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/Texas Dog Show.
It's our video troupe.
It's a video troupe with a video princess of Austin.
Is this Eisenhower?
No, it's LBJ.
It's LBJ.
Okay.
Yeah. With,
sorry,
it's Texas.
I'm not Texan.
It's LBJ with...
You're all the same.
You guys are also not Texan.
Tennessean.
What's it like to be from Tennessee?
I grew up on a mountain.
Tennessee is the best. Yeah. I'm Texas. There all the time. Yeah. Oh, like Pigeon Forge.
And Nashville. And then, Pigeon Forge is beautiful.
Well, it's like that.
Nashville's great.
That's where you... The nicest thing you think about Tennessee happen in Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, you just go up into a mountain, and there's so many trees, little cabin. Yeah, it's...
Huh.
I'm
the only Texan.
I've never been to the cool parts of Tennessee, like Knoxville or anything.
You represent...
Well, Knoxville's not that cool.
Yeah, no?
Chattanooga.
You should go Chattanooga.
Chattanooga's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Chattanooga's where we're from.
Sure, lay down the cool parts of Tennessee.
All right, Chattanooga's right by the river. It's at the foot of Lookout Mountain.
The river runs through it.
A river runs through it, and a mountain sits next to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Two mountains, isn't it?
Lots of Civil War history, if you want to start off.
Yeah, we both had the same job in high school.
That's right.
We both were tour guides on a riverboat.
Oh!
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
What?
Awesome. I got fired. I
didn't
get fired.
You didn't get fired.
I got moved to the ticket booth because my jokes were too highbrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that guy who pitched a Trotsky sketch to me.
It's a good sketch.
I guess I could read the audience a little more. And
Zach played to them.
The audience was mostly senior citizens.
We had a Salieri-Mozart relationship.
Okay.
What is that?
Oh, yeah.
You and Zach?
When we were on the... When we were on the riverboat,
You were Salieri and I was Mozart?
Yeah, because
I moved in like an imbecile.
Because you were just like, just like this loud mouth.
And they loved me.
Yeah, and then I was doing real art, and they would just stare at me and ask me if I was okay.
Oh my god, I feel like
they would, that's like, stop me. Are you all right? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm just delivering.
I feel like if a person is acknowledging that they are the Salieri to somebody's Mozart, that's actually kind of horrible.
No, it's only in regards
to fuck you, man.
Like, have you ever read Amadeus or seen Amadeus? So good.
Salieri and Mozart are both people, right? You know, and Mozart was doing the music, but Salieri was doing it in a fancier, more official fashion. And Mozart was kind of like blah blah blah, and everyone was like, "Mozart's great!" Woo! And nobody knows who Salieri
Mozart
is.
Mozart was like mildly autistic, if not Asperger's-y, in the sense of like he had no social.
Also, maybe he's like an idiot savant.
They didn't call it that back then. They just called it eccentric.
Yeah, he's eccentric.
That's my favorite records play. Of like people, like official documents where they like complained about his laughter.
And
it was almost like bad to listen to. It like didn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
And he was like always misbehaved at parties. Like he would like go up to women and just like go like, like he's just crazy.
He squeezed their boobs.
Yeah, he would make fart noises. He wrote a sonata called "Lick My Ass."
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. Was that what I did? Wasn't it not written to somebody inappropriately as well?
And that's
how it was like his like second cousin or something that he wrote that like
probably.
Why isn't that a sketch? That's like an years ago dick pic, right? Is to like be like, I wrote you this song. How's it going? Lick my ass.
And the marriage sprung.
And she's like, that's inappropriate. And she runs away, and then she's like, maybe.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, we worked on that riverboat, and
with Captain Mike.
Captain Mike Card, and he was a former truck driver in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah, and he had done a lot of jobs.
He was like Quint
from Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Just like staring wistfully off into like things and describing horrible things.
Yeah.
He always dolls eyes.
Yeah.
He always
funny.
Smelled like fish body odor, like he had a very marine like body odor.
Sprays on like
just a, like a trout just a river
every day,
a freshwater scent.
Freshwater.
Yeah.
That's a trout. That's a freshwater fish.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about. And,
it's like your little shirt, but instead the smell.
It's none of the fish on.
No,
shirt,
none of the fish on my shirt. I believe these are all saltwater fish.
Well, I think like right.
That's a
you can find
shirt.
A barracuda in brackish water, but I mean like we don't need to talk about that any further.
Freshwater sharks. That's a fish.
They happen more than they need to, and
does
all.
Say, does
which
this
is,
say AFL-CIO?
Maybe that's a T because it's like
as for
okay. What is AFL?
AFL-CIO is the it's like a major union. I don't know what it stands for, but it's the union. It's the big union of all the unions for teachers. My mom was a teacher and worked for the unions for many years. So I thought somehow that your shirt was made by them, and I was like, that is
no
a weird
idea.
Side business,
like sabotaging machinery.
No,
beginning.
Like
I haven't.
No, it'd be like doing. You know, like there's certain shirts that are like union made.
Did your mom was your mom like Norma Rae?
Whoa!
I mean, if like 20 years after Norma Rae did it, so like she worked for the unions, she didn't like fight to make them exist.
Yeah.
They were already in place when she began to work for them.
So it was like in that context, if you were Norma Rae, then she just hadn't done enough reading up to that.
Like, no,
damn it!
It's like, no, this is okay. We do this.
I swear
this
to God,
what...
somebody already did. We got
We've
you.
Already started a union.
We've been able to do this for years. Why are you so mad?
Well, somebody
like,
should
I don't
make
know. No one's telling you no. You don't have to yell at us. You can do it. Go ahead. Have a union. That's fine.
Oh, wait, no. That's what those guys are? My bad. I'm
that's
sorry.
Actually why I don't do politics at all. Like, I just don't get involved with it in any way because there was so much politics in my, like, upbringing.
See,
was,
really?
Like,
I also grew up around politics, but I love politics and keeping up.
My parents were not very political, but I enjoy
I found out. See, okay, like, I enjoy it now.
You're
but
young and hopeful.
My parents, my mom made an active effort not to, like, express her politics to me, and I always thought it was because she didn't care, and it was actually because she didn't want to influence
my political opinion.
Oh, and, interesting. Wow.
The thing is, that was never going to be an issue.
My parents were like, you're a Democrat, and
mine too.
And you should definitely vote it, and if you don't, you're out of the family.
That's wow.
So I went, so because we went to Catholic school, there was this retreat that we went to, and it was supposed to be like this big like Catholic
search
retreat, but at the end of it, you get a letter from like all the people who had been before, and you get a letter from your parents, and my dad wrote,
yeah,
Nathaniel, I will always love you, even, no matter what, even if you become a drug dealer, a criminal, or a traitor, but I will never love you if you ever become a Republican, and that's not a joke. Love your dad.
It's ridiculous.
Love you for now.
Yeah. I got this.
Love you, hopefully.
Love you until the government kicks you out.
Wow, that's a really, intense. Like, I mean, that's some rough, like, life in your face at the end of a retreat. They're like, don't forget, everyone, Jesus loves you, but your dad has conditions.
Yeah. He would, like, growing up, like, I'd be seven, and he would say things to me, like, I would say, like, complain about something, and he'd be like, well, you can find a problem with this country, trace it back to Reagan.
Yep. Oh my God, he's such a Democrat. Yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. Yep. So funny. Oh God, do you remember any Dukakis things around the house? There was lots of.
He would drag me to see. He would drag me to see like Tipper Gore coming to town. Like, we're gonna go see the vice president's wife.
Oh geez, Louise.
Yep.
Anyway, my mom is a doll.
Is a beautiful woman. Great lady.
Is that where you were going with that, Zach? Is that where you were steering?
That wasn't the direction I was going at.
Okay, just wanted to double check.
He just bugged me.
Nathaniel clearly
loves
your mom.
Everybody loves my mom.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a lovable lady?
Oh, yes.
She bought you that shirt?
No, I bought this myself.
All right, well, she obviously inspired.
She inspired the eccentric taste, I guess. Yeah. My mom is a sweet Southern lady, and she said, Zachary, as far as politics go, I voted for Al Gore because I would like to watch his family grow in the White House and watch them love each other.
Oh, that was a good Tennessee.
Sweet.
That's my mom. Yeah.
You said you're originally from Georgia, though. Did you, were you born in Georgia?
No, I was born in Tennessee. Here's the thing. I my house is in this little town in Georgia called Ringgold. It's about
pronounced Ringgold.
Ringgold. R-A-N-G-O-L. Ringgold.
Yeah.
And there's about 4,000 people there. If even. And
you lived in a little log cabin.
Yeah, there's about 3 miles.
A dog named Pooches.
Pooches? Peaches!
Oh,
not Pooches. Pooches died in 82.
Giving birth to Peaches. He's old as shit now.
Peaches has got some metal limbs. He's trucking. He's trucking along. No, anyway. And Ringgold, Georgia, there's nothing to do there. There's no good schools there, so 10 minutes north was Chattanooga, Tennessee, just over the border.
Huh.
So I had all of my education, all of my jobs, and all of my friends growing up in Chattanooga. Just happens my house was just across the border on the Georgia side.
Man.
So I pretty much grew up in Chattanooga because that's where I got raised. I got exposed to the real world, and then I would just go to my house in Georgia.
And sleep.
In the dreamland of Georgia.
Yeah. Even my parents said this. Like, we don't live in Ringgold. It's just our address. We live in Chattanooga. Yeah.
We live Chattanooga. We breathe.
We Georgia.
We sleep.
How
many brothers and sisters do you have, both of you? Zach first.
I'm an only child.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what does that say?
I don't know. Your mom's real sweet. You're wearing a pink shirt. You're real nice. It says a lot. I'm real excited about it, though.
Yeah.
It says all good things. Can I borrow some money?
How much?
It's like, he's from Ringgold, Georgia. What do you think they got down there? Nothing.
Yeah.
A little bit more than
all they had left was taken with the tornado.
Whichever one.
As soon as it hits the ground, you can have some money. Anyways, where are you?
Nathaniel, what about you?
We've already discussed my one sister.
Just the one?
Yeah.
You have one sister,
and you have no idea her age. Like,
I figured it out.
Yeah, but I thought for sure you'd be like, I'm one of eight. Because you're like, she's a...
I know, fingers came out. Like,
yeah.
No.
So just the two of you, huh?
Yeah. You fired off with, like, the date that first movie you were talking about came out immediately, but your daughter...
Well, this is the thing. I also, like...
Your daughter.
Yeah, I don't remember, It's a choice I've made. Jesus, I remember facts, but I cannot remember, like, personal memories or anything like that.
Interesting.
Horrible time remembering.
No,
Zach would be like, wasn't that a great concert we went to last night? And I'd be like, concert? And he'd be like, yeah, we saw this band. I'm like... Band.
No, Nathaniel Unruh. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm exactly the same way. Like, I have very little memory of my, like, childhood. My sister will be like, remember when we went to that thing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Whereas my mom
No,
will be like,
I have nothing.
When I'm home, I'll be like, Mom, where's my, like, tripod? And Mom will be like, let's see. I saw that sitting out in the kitchen. I was wearing my strap top. So it was Thursday, and I just dropped Mary Liza off because I had to take her back from school because she had a dentist appointment with Mr. Reed at 11:30. So it is in the garage.
No, I totally get that. Like, what you're like? No, well, I mean, in the sense of, like, I start at the beginning. Like, if I can't remember specifically the thing that we're trying to... A lot of times it comes up in, like, stoner conversation where it's like, what were we talking about? Because we laughed for too long or something. And I'll go back to the last topic that I can actually remember and then trace it through the organic, like the way it moved forward.
I can't tell you.
Okay, so the last thing I can remember is I talked about my shoes being black. And then you were talking about how, like, yellow shoes are better. And then, like, I'll make this active
thing. The best part of this podcast so far are those moments. I'm not telling, like, because I go through everyone at the end. And to listen to sometimes, we'll stop and be like... Oh, what shit, wait, that? we were talking about science. Where were we talking about science? And then we, like, get our way all the way back. Oh, those are so fun. Hilarious.
Because you have to do that, because it's like...
Yeah, but, like, honestly, within a conversation is one thing. But, like, legitimately, I don't have, like, oh, yes, when I was 7, I got this or whatever. Like, my husband can tell you, like, what music was playing in the room when certain events happened. Like, I'm like, I don't really remember much between 22 and 27.
Yeah.
It was fun. I remember that, but I don't know.
Dude, it's ridiculous, like, the details you remember that don't matter much.
Not only those that I remember.
That's how Roy was when he was on here. Like, I remember, like, every time Roy or Red or anybody in the room brought up something, he'd be like, oh, yeah, no, I remember you said that, like, June 26th around, like, 7:30. Like, he was just really specific about the exact time about things. And it's like, my life is constantly being, like, redefined when I tell it to people that experienced it with me. Because I remember, like, I had this really sad memory that I found out was not as sad after, like, cycling it back through people, where I was like, hey, you remember that one time we found our dog dead in the snow that one year? And it was like, no, it was Christmas, but it wasn't snowy. And I was like, well, snow made it sadder. And that's, like, that's in my head. I was like, I made it sad remembering it over and over the wrong way. Hmm. And it was like, no, it was Christmas, but it was, like, 82 degrees. And it was just a hot Christmas for us that year. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no. Snow would make that sadder if I found a dead dog in the snow. But, like, on just a regular 82-degree Christmas morning, that's not sad.
Where are you from?
South Carolina.
Oh, that's why it's 82 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you never get a beat on that. You never know. It could just be...
We never had 80-degree Christmas mornings in Boston.
Yeah, you had
none.
Yeah, Christmas mornings, there should be the last Christmas morning ever, probably.
I realize that if I have kids, it would probably behoove me to move them up there so that they, like, can spend the first few years of their life, like, having a hard time, it being difficult and annoying. So that, because, like, just the other day I was walking down the street and it was just like, it was like 4 in the afternoon and the weather was just so beautiful. And I was like, it's February and I am wearing the lightest of jackets and this is the best and I'm so glad I live here now, but I wouldn't appreciate it if I came from a place that was also nice all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I love it because I know that if I called my sister, she'd be like, I don't know, I'm shoveling for the next 6 hours. And I'd be like, ha, ha, ha. And then I'd hang up and you know, but, like, I want that. I need to create hardship. Same we were talking about. I was talking to your brother about poverty. He literally so funny. He knows me none at all. Wendell's brother who just moved to town. But I talked to him because I'm very close to Wendell. I talked to him like we're close.
No, yeah, no. And I mean, you might as well swap us out whenever. We experience the exact same life just from like 3 years separate. So
you're different people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, we definitely are. Like the fact that he talks to you about anything is really... I'm still learning about my brother because we've spent so much time apart. So it's like, I'm still figuring out what adult Clinton is. So what was you saying?
No, no. He was just sort of nodding and agreeing with what we were talking about. He didn't really contribute much. And I just... Mostly, I just talk until someone interrupts me. Like now, for instance. And I just keep going. And then eventually the conversation feels awkward and I walk away from people. People usually feel awkward already. So I never look awkward. Yeah. Like later on, they're never like, that girl. They're like, whoa, she said a lot of stuff. And it seems impressive. But it's just gabbing.
And that's the thing. Like, Clinton has kind of always been like that for me. Not to, like, make this about my little brother, but, like, he's the one that sort of defined how I would act around everyone else. Because, like, he was very just, like, okay, and just nodding and just letting me get my one-sided conversation out sometimes. And then, you know, it was like I would go and be really excited about people that react to me. And the thing is, like, he'll react sometimes. He just has to get really comfortable. And it's like 9 times out of 10 when I start to feel like a dick about being the only guy that talks to a person that I work with or people that I see on the... It's like, man, I'm just only talking. Maybe I should shut up. There's that one day where that guy is having a great day. Where they just know they can finally jump into a random conversation with a guy. Because it's like, I'm only doing it to keep to keep zero silence in the conversation, you know? It's like, sometimes it's like, a human doesn't interact with me. It's like, all right, well, I'm just gonna, you're a mirror. You know, like, that's how it is. And I don't know. Oh. Well, I mean, because you don't want to, like, put it on them to just, like, and you have to say, and then just wait till silence gets bad. You know?
Yeah, what do you, I hear reactions, like, what's your social, like, do you find yourself being the one who mostly talks, or you, like, strongly walks up to strangers,
You pointed at me?
You talk. I only said that not to call you guys out, I just mean, you know, people can't see things.
But I mean, like, you know, how do you handle that, socially?
Well, do you want to take it?
Yeah, you mean I'm confused by the question.
Like at a party, do you like stand in the corner and wait till somebody talks to you, or do you like walk up to people?
I will not talk to new people
ever.
I will find something that a person has on them, usually, or like an article of clothing that's interesting. If they're holding something, and I'll go up and I'll question them about that.
Like a bright pink shirt covered in...
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I want to talk to me.
I have to...
Exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I get that. You wear shit to draw people just like you into it. I get that.
That's awesome. I want people... Yeah, I want to meet people on the same level.
That's so funny. You're wearing a conversation starter.
Exactly.
It started you're wearing an icebreaker.
Exactly.
You did.
Of course, a new movement's a great place to meet people.
Yeah.
Where we all grow.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I can't get to know people or be friends with people, and it has to be on a, there has to be like a context to getting to know them. So I have to get to know them in a way that's not being friends with them first before I can become friends with them. I can't just become friends with a random person. That's chaos.
Okay, well, you get hung up on the idea that maybe you're only feeling like you're supposed to become friends with them, or there's some.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not gonna like start talking to a random person unless I'm like, oh, that person can, I can talk about this with that person, and it can be in no way seem like I'm pursuing this person as a friend, because then I'll
pursuing this
leave.
Person.
Yeah, like you're
like, so it's like in case hunting. Like I can like duck out of this really quickly. I can be like, hey, something, and then I can be like this, and I can be like, great, and then I'll leave.
Huh, interesting.
Or I can be like, hey, something, and then they'll say something, and I'll go, oh, And then I can, so it's like, I need like a proving grounds.
That's so funny. My point of view in this scenario, my entire, like 100% of my job is talking to strangers. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just have to look at everyone that walks through the door and decide if they seem like somebody that should stick around and then talk to them. And I was like, I got all of you, you know what I mean? Like, well, Zach was given to me by you, Nathaniel.
That's true.
But, which is funny, because I thought about that. Like, I was like, I never had to pursue you, but I pursued you. Everybody else loves Zach.
Kelly Way is really friendly. Like,
you pursued me. No, but it's like the idea of what I'm doing is trying to convince people to stick around. And if I, like, hang out with them and it turns out that they do have what I feel like is the right vibe for the group, then I like convince them to stick around and that kind of stuff, but that's so interesting that any of you would feel any different. Meaning, like, I don't know, I see you in one way based on our interactions, and so the confidence level I imagine you have is different generally than what people actually have, like what they think they have on the inside.
But this is like Moet, who is can just like go into a bar by himself and like talk to anyone. It's like really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified of being on stage. It's a horrible, horrible stage fright.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
he also has a lot like of yeah. Well, yeah. But it's a different animal.
Yeah, like social interaction.
Social. We were talking about social though, because I can go up and talk on stage to any person. No, like if there's 4,000 people, yeah, okay, no problem. I got that.
Yeah.
Like I'm not afraid of being up there, But yeah, I mean, individually, it gets a little weirder.
Yeah, because there's a control involved in being on stage where it's, like, literally anybody else who is talking without being, like, prompted to do so is kind of the asshole, or is at least a heckler, unless the guy on stage is being so terrible that people need to shout at them, you know? It's like, being on stage is sort of, that's different than, like, just bumping into some friends or, like, even meeting new people, because it's like, you're not really meeting these people, they're kind of meeting you. And you're kind of, like, helping them enjoy themselves while they do it. You know, like, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because there's no, like, chance where it's like, you know, improv gives you the suggestion opportunity that we... Some people choose not to take, or they do. But it's like, you're on stage. The people there aren't really... It's not a social interaction in that they get to, like, back you up on that so much as just, like, confirm that you're doing a good job controlling the situation. You know?
That's a good point.
Huh.
And that... I've only adopted that after hearing, like, Jerry Seinfeld talk about it, where it's just, like, not to say that you're better than them, but it's, like, you have the opportunity. You're the one there. And it's, like, you are in control of everybody's happiness. And...
Whenever I teach, sketch, I'm always talking about the audience like they're peons.
I know.
You don't, like, get what's going on. Like, it's like, listen, guys, let me teach you easily the basic tenets of getting any buffoon to laugh in the damn audience.
Yeah.
Like normies. And in fact,
I've heard you call them normies. Yeah. I always love normies.
When I, the other day, I was watching Clayton's Electric Hullabaloo, and I was so delighted to see a moment when it was an event repeated. Like, it was a three-beat joke, and it was just the same thing. And I can't even remember what it was at this point. I just remember the moment when the third beat happened, when it was like, I'm going to do this. The second time, I'm going to do this. Third time, what do you guys think? I'm probably going to do this. And when they did the third beat of this joke, the audience erupted in joyous laughter, and I was just like, so simple.
Yeah.
Give them what they want. They want it. They ask you for it. Just give it to them. Like,
I wonder what part that was.
Might have been the pies.
Pies. Oh,
yeah. Pies are always good.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, there was a lot of pie in the face action, and it was just simple. And I remember just thinking, like, this is delightful. Like, how, like, all this effort I put into things sometimes where I'm like, but is the context within the joke really the right? And I'm like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Throw pie in his face. That's why, like, every sixth sketch I write is a dick joke. Like, every once. Yeah, and I mean, not officially,
six,
but like.
Six.
The sixth. Yay! Debatable.
But I do have a lot of penis jokes, and they find their way on stage a lot because they're easier.
Because
I'll write sketches and I'm like, what the fuck kind of detailed work? What? I don't understand. I mean, I look at my own sketches the way I look at anybody's, where I'm like, what the hell is the joke here?
Yeah.
And then if I can't figure it out, it's not going on stage. So Mm-hmm. You're nodding, Delia. What are you Delia thinking? Nods. I haven't heard. We haven't heard and much Delia from you today. Nods.
No, I was just thinking about. You're talking about your sketches, and I was thinking about one of the first sketches that Alicia and I wrote together. It was for the neighborhood before it got its new format, mm-hmm. and neither of us had taken sketch before. And I think it was like the first thing that we had written together, and we submitted it to you, just like, sure, whatever, we'll write it. If she hates it, at least we tried, and she knows we're into stuff, right? Like, no bad could come of this. And so we sent it, and you were like, I guess the tone I got was like, why the hell did she send? All right, I'll take a look at it. I'll read it. And then you did. And you're like, yeah, I'll give you some notes. And I was like, oh, these are harsh, but they make sense. Because we didn't know what we were doing in our sketch or like with writing. I didn't anyway. I mean, can't speak for her. I was just thinking about how you were like, yeah, what is the joke in this? And I thought, oh, I don't know. I just thought this whole thing, like, just as an idea was funny. It had no like beats in it at all. Yeah, and that was the first like getting into sketch stuff.
Yeah, and it's like an objective opinion can sound cold. But that's sort of why objective opinion is necessary. You know, it's like without the context.
Also, if a person, here's the thing, and this is just my little
justice.
If you don't take my class and you send me that and you want my effort without me getting paid to give it to you, I'm going to give you the harshest notes I'm going to give you. Because fuck you.
Yeah.
Because I should be paid for giving you these notes, but I'm not going to be. So, all right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's wrong with this sketch. And I do. I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's like what punching up a joke is.
Didn't know that, like, yeah, you're right. You should be paid.
Oh, no. I'm just being rough.
That's all because of the joke. She's still being rough after all that time. It's all because of that sketch.
I'll take it.
It's like next time you punch my joke up.
Yeah, I'm so rough that I was like, Delia, hang out with me all the time.
And
do a podcast with me. I also remember the moment that Delia's the most recent into the new movement, so I like still have her arrival day fresh in my mind.
Still here because of Stockholm syndrome that Amy has laid upon her. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's good. I haven't taught a few level ones, and I'm a little afraid they're gonna not have the Stockholm syndrome that they need to fully like follow me.
Nah, man, that Kool-Aid that I'm leading that them to. For real though.
Yeah, I gotta get that Kool-Aid right in there.
We have our friend Spencer complains all the time.
He said
that cult. We should hang out.
That was funny because, like,
Can I hang out with Spencer?
You've met Spencer a couple times.
Oh, yeah, he was Martini.
Yeah.
In Hullabaloo.
He's been on the stage, the bastard, and he has the Kool-Aid.
He said, he goes, I don't want to join that cult. I said, Spencer, you're only as involved as you want to be. And he said, that's the cultiest shit I've ever heard.
Look,
it really is.
So is. Whatever. It so is. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I've questioned myself. I've gone like, hey, so you feel like the thing is like every time I've ever seen a cult brought up in like either television or anything, I can't assume that every person in a cult is a complete dumbass and is just completely just like wandering into a situation until they're just deep in it. There has to be at least one objectively logical person that just walked in and just people talked to him and socially connected with him, and he hadn't had that in a while, and maybe he just wanted to like see how far that could go and became a part of a community, and then all of a sudden was dead in Waco, and it's like, Austin's better than Waco is what I came to at that point. I was like, well, shit's happening here.
So. We're not actually asking you to do anything that's, like, bad.
No.
Nor are we asking for money without a direct service that we're providing, so.
There are ways, you know, to work.
Right, yeah, I don't have to grow any vegetables in the alley, so that's good.
Well, someday, pretty soon.
What?
Maybe.
Can we?
Oh, I'd love
can
to do that.
The
Amy.
Alley look awesome.
Yeah, if you'd like to. Are any of you green thumbs?
I want
to
know.
I'm like,
but can we pay the alley?
But I wasn't
the alley.
No, we can't pay
I wasn't technically a comedian until I started doing stuff at the theater, so I could figure some shit out in that alley, right?
Yeah, that's the thing I was talking about,
how I thought it would really be really nice to have, like, flowers and stuff, but I don't know how to do any of that.
I was just telling Tim that on Sunday.
Yeah.
I want to bring plants in here because there aren't any. And she said, but we're in a basement. I told her, yes, I just thought about that. And you're right. But we could just move them.
We'd probably have to get, like, shade ones because that alley's pretty dark most of the time. It's pretty shady. Yeah. Doesn't have a lot of... I mean, it only has that moment of direct sunlight. But for a second, it's over now.
You get bamboo. Oh, I mean,
what about gambling?
Bamboo would be cool.
It doesn't eat a lot.
Right?
And then we can have koalas.
Yeah, koala bears.
Could we maybe bring back panda bears?
No,
they're the shit. They're shitty animals. No, they're shitty animals.
I
hate pandas. I'm not even kidding.
The koala bears in that, like, little caged off section right at the end that the other side's on 7th Street, but, like, there's no entrance either way. That's where we'll keep the koala bears.
Oh, what's it called? We'll just see how they, you know.
How they do.
How they do. Yeah, how
How's it going? You like Austin?
We'll see if it's
110
like
in 3 seconds.
Koala.
Great.
Oh, please.
How many high fives are we up to?
You don't end it. I'll be right back.
Today?
Please. I don't want to keep track of all of that.
No, that would be crazy.
I don't think I've ever high fived as much as the day I stepped down into that basement.
But then I said, I actually like this shirt.
Is there a lot of high fiving at in the TNM world?
Every time meet someone, it's like, Roy, hey,
what's up, man? Roy always high fives.
Yeah.
It's the most, I don't know.
It's like a
what's
handshake.
The word I'm looking for?
I love high fiving.
Me too. I used to hate it.
You love high fiving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I really thought you were saying that you didn't.
Ending, maybe acceptable greeting is a high five.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most innocuous.
Because not everybody's on a hug level.
Yeah.
And I don't like hugs personally.
Excuse me.
I'm going to hug you now so much.
Shaking hands sometimes can be weird because it's impersonal. It's very impersonal. Yeah. High five is the perfect mid-level. It's excited, it's joyful, it's friendly, and it's quick.
Oh, yeah.
It's over and done.
Oh, you mentioned it with the joyful, because even if you're in a shitty mood,
you give a high five.
You give one and you're like, yeah, like, you brightened my
Do you
face.
Want a high five right now?
I'm good. Well, you get one. Do it.
Everybody's getting one.
Oh, no.
Amy? Nathaniel, high five. High five.
I like the way that sounds.
You gotta look at the elbow. You're not looking at my elbow.
I'm looking.
Guys, almost. Don't hurt each other with the damn high fives. Good Lord.
We've known each other a long time.
Yeah. So you guys were away from each other and then back together. You went to different colleges, yes, no?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I moved here right after I graduated, and he was working in Colorado.
Right, Colorado.
Colorado.
We got you from Colorado. That seems unlikely. Nathaniel must be really awesome.
Well, he is. He's wonderful. We love each other. I took a hiatus from theater performing to go live on a ranch in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there for a year, did a summer and a winter, and then I realized I needed to get back to performing in some form or fashion. And then I was down here in Austin, and what I was looking for was just simply not in Colorado. There's not really a market for it there.
Mm.
I mean, not really. But also, it's time to ramble on. It broke my heart to leave Colorado, but it's not going anywhere. You know, and it's time to...
Everybody's probably chilling and hanging out and, hacky-sacking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody's having a good time right now in Colorado. Why is shit trying
to happen? Just 1987 all the time in Colorado.
What's up? I don't know.
Andrew McCarthy's still the hottest guy they've ever seen. Second mention of Andrew McCarthy.
I was just thinking about that.
Pretty in Pink.
Because
I told Nathaniel he was Ducky while you were in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, you're Andrew McCarthy and I'm Ducky.
I love Pretty in Pink. I just cried watching St. Elmo's Fire about 2 weeks ago.
It was good that he was there.
And I couldn't do it.
Oh, good.
Couldn't do it. It wasn't interesting to me. Oh, cool, these, like, rich white kids are having issues. I don't give a shit.
You know what
like
you should 30. Watch?
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, it was very, like, I don't care. This isn't real. What are you... But... What's his name? Judd Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I never thought he was very attractive before, but in St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me Breakfast Club? You're not, like, give me a towel? You're not, like, so in love with him in Breakfast Club?
Give me a towel to, like...
Are you kidding me?
Nuh-uh.
You mean give me a towel to, like, get the sweat off your forehead, right? I was more
attracted to Ally Sheedy than any of the boys in there.
Yeah, I hear that.
But, I mean, Ally Sheedy's pretty in there.
I mean, not really in that movie in any way.
Oh, I didn't like her in St. Elmo's Fire.
If you don't like 80s films about rich white kids, you should watch River's Edge.
Oh, man.
It's Keanu Reeves and Crispin Glover.
Ooh.
Dennis Hopper's in it. Keanu Reeves and Crispin Glover play these two, like, punk kids, and their friend kills his girlfriend, and it's just them trying to, like, figure out what to do about it. And Dennis Hopper plays a drug dealer. And Keanu Reeves has this little brother who's, like, 12.
Is this a VHS that you have?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, so what you're saying is we're starting VHS night?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, come over.
Let's start a new podcast called VHS
night. VHS!
Come watch our VHS night,
because I have a whole closet of VHS's and no work in VCR anymore.
Do you really?
I have just seen
it. Well, that reminds me, you didn't get a high five.
Yeah. Yay! All right, across the board. No, the last VCR I had, the last one it ate was Fist of the North Star, and it ate, it's an anime.
Oh, okay.
That is...
Sounds like a sexual one.
Oh, is it pervy?
It's
Fist
gory.
Of the North Star?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. As much as you think it is, it's very sexual and also very violent. Almost as violent as most people want things to be sexual. I don't know. It's like, it set a new definition for anime violence. And that VCR that I put it into... ate it. Sucks. You have no idea the kind of masterpiece that this VCR ruined. So it's
God.
I've had a hard time dealing with it, but yeah, I got a whole closet full of things that need to be watched on a VCR. I don't know, like, there are certain movies for me that I hate seeing in HD. Like,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I don't
want
to look at it. Like, what?
Like Labyrinth. I do not like seeing Labyrinth in HD. Or
I can
Dark
totally
Crystal.
See. I can totally
I love the
that.
Grainy nature right. that I always watch those films. Never Ending Story is something I don't need to see in HD.
Oh, man.
Like, it's nice to once, but I would prefer to always after that
you
watch
see,
it in a sense where it plays.
You ever all seen, of those... like, a Blu-ray of Wizard of Oz? It's fucked up. It's like you're watching somebody's, like, high school play.
Yeah.
It's so fucked. I don't want that to happen.
Or
it's
cartoony.
It's just all the movies Wendell mentioned had puppets. In them.
Yeah.
And see,
I'm sorry. Like,
no.
That's a Wendell thing.
Well, I mean, stuff I watched as a kid. You know, because like VCRs, I didn't see the beginning of VCRs, but I saw like the ass end of it to the end.
Yeah, we
did. Not everybody's watching clone killer shows.
Yeah. I mean, I have
not everybody's me as a kid. Most people are watching Muppets and shit.
I have like original VHS.
However, I'm that being said, I am afraid of Dark Crystal. I won't watch it. It makes me scared. They're hell for me.
It was the first DVD I ever bought.
Wow.
I love the Dark Crystal. And I love how there are no humans in the cast.
That's why I can't get into it.
100% puppets.
I'm not a
puppets
I'm
are
not
my trigger
people.
Word. I freak out.
So
puppets.
I found out about I found out about that film at like 2007 or 2008. I used to work at Six Flags.
You're talking about Dark Crystal?
Yeah, Dark Crystal. And
you used to work at Six Flags?
Yeah.
And me too.
Yeah.
Nine more conversations.
Me
waiting
too.
Until the end of this.
And
summer.
my boss, I had my hair. It was 2007, so I had like bangs and like my hair was like chopped.
You had bangs?
And then like I have big ears, so like my ears stuck out. And so you could like hair, and then my ears stuck out. And so then one day my boss comes in and he's showing some like. Something on his phone, like, to everyone. And he goes, hey, Delia, look, it's you. You're Dark Crystal. And he said that I look like Jen from Dark Crystal. And
The female Gelfling?
No, the boy. It was the boy.
Oh,
the male Gelfling.
And then
wow.
I was like, oh, God damn it. And so then for a while, that's my profile picture. And so I found out about Dark Crystal. It was because my boss compared me to that.
Oh, wow.
That's not a good
introduction. I don't think you're scary. Like, I think Dark Crystal is
masterpiece.
Scary.
I'm gonna... That's a terrible way to be introduced into that film.
Yeah.
Because that film is, like, Jim Henson's, like, magnum opus. It's amazing on itself. It's also a great movie to take mushrooms and watch.
Yeah, I could see that.
Have you seen it?
It is an amazing.
Yes, I mean, I've seen it, and it's scary. And no, I'll be honest.
It's a way to build character on mushrooms.
Maybe I saw it as a child, and that's what scared me. Because, like, as a child, I was shown a lot of weird things. Because I was an actor from a tiny age, and so people always. I was a kid who talked like an adult, so people would say things and show things to me all the time that they definitely should not. Totally appropriate. So, like in 1985, I'm 7, and my uncle shows me a VHS tape that he's received of Thriller. I don't know if you've seen the Thriller video, but imagine being 7 and seeing that, and that's your uncle, who's real sweet, and the actor in the family, and the one who you want to be. He's like, hey, Aime, check this out. My friend just gave me this VHS of this cool new thing called a music video. Puts it in. Watch this. And it was so scary.
17 minutes later, Aime.
Yeah, it's a long
I was
it's
horrified. So I was like, I remember sitting Indian style in front of the TV super close going like, oh my God.
Dude.
It's horrifying.
Dude, I was going to say, like, the werewolf effects at the end of that movie are just, it's the same guy that did American Werewolf in London, right?
Yeah, John Landis.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's like, it is just as intense for no reason. Like, not only was I scared of zombie Jackson, but werewolf Jackson comes out at the very end, and, like, his eyes turning yellow and everything else. It was a lot.
Super scary. So after that,
I thought he was protecting
puppet things that weren't, you know, Piggy and Kermit. No good.
Yeah, well, the Muppets work because they interact with humans. Dark Crystal doesn't have human interaction. And it's just like, what?
Yeah, but, like, I liked Fraggle Rock. That's
beautiful.
Fraggle Rock.
Entirely.
I never watched
it. Because there was only one thing, the guy and his dog, who was a puppet, I think. No, maybe not. And they occasionally came out and were like, oh, check it out, what the fuck?
No, the dog
and,
was
and,
a
like,
puppet.
Run away.
The dog was a puppet.
Thank you. When you go into Fraggle Rock, they're all puppets, and I liked that. Mm. That was fun.
Also, okay.
And, like, puppets messing with humans does not guarantee that it's going to work. I mean, because that's like
true.
Puppet Master movies or...
Yeah.
Like
the Chucky's.
Joe the Rabbit or...
Like Chucky.
Child's Play. I mean, exactly. But, I mean, in the sense of, like, it's not... It doesn't have to work. Alf is great, but not always great. I always liked Alf. But I heard it's a heinous operation to pull on the humans involved. You know, it's just the way the stage is set up and stuff.
What about dinosaurs? Remember that show?
I love that show.
Actually, that show was amazing.
Such a great...
No, I understand what I said, because I'm thinking of further examples. But for the most part...
You know why you like that show.
Try to watch that now. The mother on that show is the mother from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, in the finale episode of that show is so dark because it's like they're Armageddon.
It is.
Yeah, it fucking is.
With them all kind of huddling together.
It's because of the husband's job. His job is directly correlated to the end of the world. Because they're like a logging company.
Yeah,
because
they throw shit into the volcanoes and stuff.
There's an episode about drugs.
Yeah, it was the 80s. It was like the steroids. He had the little monsters that made him, the high school kid. Mm-hmm. It made him like hyper aggressive.
There were all of those when we were growing up that there were like all sorts of like pointed television episodes where they'd be like, what are you doing, Billy? No big deal. I'm just doing some drugs. You shouldn't do drugs. It's going to ruin your life. Oh, whatever. I'm going to do them. And then his life gets ruined. And then
we
tell you.
It's like
immediately.
Episode Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Where what's her name gets addicted to caffeine pills.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Yeah, she's taking caffeine pills. She's not like doing anything.
Not even ephedrine.
No, she's straight up just popping caffeine pills because she's trying to stay up late to study.
And thank God Zach Moore.
I wish smart girls would remember that they don't have to study. That's why they're smart girls.
Well,
I never studied a day in my life. Aced fucking everything. Still a disappointment. That's all right.
We have this cool podcast.
If you get to like. Honestly, thinking about what Zach... I'm sorry, just to talk about that...
Please.
Say about the bell thing at the
end.
If you get to talk about what kind of person Zach Morris was and the fact that he passed out in front of her, that was the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go ahead and leave it at that because...
What do you mean?
Because it was Zach that was going to study with her when she had her little episode and passed out for early and kind of lost consciousness from taking all those caffeine pills, right? In that episode?
Yeah.
Yes.
Zach is a monster of a human being, like in that show. He used to pay Screech to, like, sneak into the locker rooms and videotape the girls while they're showering. Like,
that is horrifying.
He'd stop time, which we've only seen how that is just to talk to us, but God knows how he's stopping time in other ways, just because the narrative doesn't lend itself to those extra scenes. Now, Zach Morris is not the guy you want to, like, pass out on drugs from. But I'm getting serious now, and I'm really
I would love the idea of if you should write like a Zach Morris like in his 40s character, like of what he's doing now, like because he might still have some powers, but he's like totally peaked in high school.
Yeah.
So like he doesn't have anything. Like he's still hanging out at the Max, and Max is like, "Listen, this is a kid's place. If you could get out of here, you know."
I kind
of
like it if like Zach Morris is like he just. Didn't stop getting cool, so he just got cooler and cooler, and he got so cool that he was elected president, and he was just in charge of the space program.
Cool?
Yeah, he's like, president. I can't help it. He's just so cool.
Or what is coolest president?
He's the most popular man. He becomes like leader of the known world. Leads us finally takes us to Mars.
I think
he's
so cool. Yeah, but I think this leads us back to our conflict is narrative conversation that we were having, where it's like, yeah, but fuck them getting together. Yes. I mean, like everybody knows that's why Who's the Boss failed. You know, because Tony and Angela got together.
Well, that was it.
And we found out
it was like Niles and Daphne. It was toward the end of the show.
Yeah, I don't know if Niles and Daphne made me feel the same way.
Because I was like, so we're just watching a man and his beard come together more so than anything. Because nothing about Niles grabbed me as like needing a woman in his life.
Oh, are you kidding me? I have such a crush on David Hyde Pierce. I don't even care if he is gay. I'll just play
but
for
that's
a
the thing. Is, like, I feel like
him I don't know. I don't care.
He is gay, yeah.
It literally has no. If the fact that I will 0% of the chance meet and or bed this man, but in my head, he's loving
of course.
It.
I bet he's a big fan of the podcast, and he's going to be like, well, I'm taking a flight down to Austin.
That was not a
just so I can bend that married woman.
I'm going.
Oh, man.
That seems like an excellent plan. Nothing could go wrong here.
Jeez, fetch me my flying slippers.
You know, I actually watched, I recently listened, speaking of podcasts, I listened to the WTF podcast with Marc Maron, and he interviewed Sacha Baron Cohen, had a very interesting conversation. If you haven't listened to it, you should, but he was talking about how he went to clown college, well, not clown college, he went to, like, in France, clown training, so... Way more.
Like, it costs like
sorry,
way more than any
college. But anyway, he went there and he studied there's two different kinds of clowns. The like positive vibe clown known as the clown, where it's like there's a person who's like sweet and nice and the audience likes them and they like probably fail a bunch, but the audience the whole time is like, oh, maybe they won't fail. And then they keep failing and they're like, meh, meh, you know, like they just can't get it right. And then there's the buffoon who does a bunch of horrible shit that then the audience is like, fuck this guy. Get out of here. Yeah. What the hell? But their angry reaction creates sort of like a narrative within itself. And then he can make people get mad at him for something that then they probably wouldn't have gotten mad at. Like, so his, most of his movies, like with Borat and all that, are in the idea of the buffoon, where he goads people to react a certain way, and then them reacting that way reveals something about them, reveals something about him, reveals something about the connection with the character, right? And I thought that was so interesting, that there are two ways to go into it, positive and negative. And the idea of the character that the... I'm always pushing with comedy the idea of the clown, where it's like the audience needs to like you. The audience needs to care about your character before they're going to laugh and enjoy and care about you. But that he is valid in his way of creating a vibe where the audience reacts in whatever way. And then you've got the audience to hate you. So then you can be like, okay, well, here's some things that like technically they would never yell at, but now they hate you. So if you represent it, they'll yell about it. You know?
That's why the Marx Brothers are so good. Because, like, you talk about Chaplin and Lloyd and Keaton role playing clowns, you know, in the silent era, but still. But then Marx Brothers were all three of them were the buffoons and causing conflict. And I guess everyone else around them, the, you know, the straight guys and everything, were like the clowns because they like keep trying and the brothers just refuse to let them succeed. But they don't even give them the satisfaction of eventually succeeding because like all they do is create conflict. Those movies are so great because there's no logic to the conflict that they create. It can be whatever. So then the movie falls apart.
Yeah, it's like a disruption of just the status quo. But for the sake of, I don't know, just for the sake of breaking the fourth wall, because there's a lot of just winking at the audience that's watching.
Yeah, Groucho saying, like, the two girls are talking, and he says, "Pardon me while I have a strange interlude." He just gets up and leaves them or something and talks to the camera.
And it's like, that audience would still freak out in that same situation if the ground, if like the Marx Brothers were there doing that to them. But all of a sudden, you can just be on their side by noting what they're saying to you, you know? Mm. And
Clowns.
It's much better than like the Three Stooges just coming and destroying the picture.
You like Three Stooges?
No, I love Three Stooges, but it's like there's less thought behind it, I think.
Yeah. It's a little more face value.
Hey, I need my pipes and my house fixed. And then they just come destroy your house.
It occurred to me the other day that I had forgotten, because again, I mentioned before that I have swaths of memory I just don't have. And, you know, people ask you questions like when we're doing this of like, who's your inspiration? So I was like, I should probably think about this and really remember who I watched first. And the first person that I ever watched do comedy was Tracy Ullman. Like, Tracy Ullman used to have a show on HBO, which is where The Simpsons started.
I know.
And she did sketches where she was the lead character in everyone. It's like Kroll Show, but it's with her. And she's the lead character in everything. She just played all these different characters. And I was like, yeah, that's it. I would like to be doing that. That seems like a plausible...
Honestly, the camera was from the perspective of whoever she was talking to a lot of the times, right? It was her doing, like, solo character work, kind of.
A lot of the scenes were, I mean, some of them were her in other situations, but yeah, there was a lot of, like, her speaking to the camera.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
Amazing.
Yeah, that with interludes of early Simpsons and, like, what... You know, so I found it. It was on Hulu. It's called Tracy Takes On. So if you have Hulu, check it out.
She honestly will do a little brown face sometimes. Like, I don't know. There was like some weird, like,
I'm sure she did.
Yeah, no, I was just saying at that time, I guess it wasn't as.
Well, it was 1990, like, HBO, when HBO was invented.
Yeah, she plays a lot of, like, ethnic characters that are, it's like, okay, that's cool. But, I mean, like...
She's not, British, but, so that's why somehow it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also in the sense of, like, the characters she does while doing it aren't necessarily insulting to what she's trying to do. It's more just, like...
Yeah.
It's, like, I don't know. It's not the point of disrespecting it. It's more just, like, occupying that role. And British people just do British people. So, yeah.
My point not being that my favorite comedian is a racist woman.
Well, that's a really interesting question. Well, like, first, because, like, I was thinking, it's like, for me, it was, like, all in the same year. It was Duck Soup, Airplane, and King Tut, the Steve Martin King Tut thing. Mm. Yeah. It was, like, six.
Oh, yeah.
You know, seeing all those things at once. Because my dad was like, watch Steve, this guy named Steve Martin, he's pretty funny, watch this. Like, those are, like, most informative.
When I was that age, six, I watched Mrs. Doubtfire about three times a week. All the way through. I loved that movie. And that was probably my first exposure to what comedy could really be. It's a man in a dress.
I still greet people that way.
Yes.
That's so funny. That actually, Nathaniel we watched the other night because
Nathaniel had never seen it recently for the first time, and I was so happy to show him.
I did not grow up on these family movies.
I grew up.
I have not seen any of any seminal movie from the 90s. I haven't seen.
I didn't see Jack, but
wow, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we need to have these parties so that we can teach you. Did you watch Dazed and Confused at least?
Yeah, it's not a high school
movie. No, it's not a family movie. You're right.
I didn't see Home Alone till college.
One of my favorite comedies is Heavyweights.
Oh, dude.
Heavyweights is awesome.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I don't know what
Ben Stiller is the bad guy in Heavyweights.
That is in my top
It's just one of the best comedies.
Dude, lunch has been canceled. Dude,
you back a hustle. Deal with it. I feel like...
Dude, I hid candy in my apartments and really creative way. Like, in my bedroom, like, when my parents... My mom was like, you can't have candy after a certain hour. I found places to dig holes.
Nice.
To hide candy in my bedroom. Because of heavyweights. Nobody's looking in this little hole that they think the screw goes down to with like the top of the like bedpost. It was
looks like someone's packing.
Tootsie rolls. I was like, I got Tootsie rolls out of there. Yeah.
I think.
Oh, that movie's so good. I feel like. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, no. I was just. No, no, no. You can keep talking about
it. I felt. I feel like. I felt like. All of the Disney's board meeting got around a table and they said, let's make a bunch of fat kids run around for 90 minutes and call it a family film. And it's just an excuse to laugh at fat kids.
Maybe that's why I didn't see this movie.
Well, then Disney. No, that's not true. It's really heartwarming.
It gets a little. And there are parts of it that are kind of strange because it's like the beginning part of it is all about like friendship and everybody kind of coming together over the
season. Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, it's like, man, everybody's been shitty to us because, you know, like our parents keep sending us fat camp. And
yeah.
And then it gets like. And it's more bonding. And then all of a sudden, Ben Stiller shows up. As the guy running the camp just doesn't give a fuck and is mad about fat kids. And it's just like smiles to the adults and then it's just the most terrible dude. And they, in revenge, like they destroy this fat camp. They break it down from the inside. They strap him to a tree and cover him in honey.
Oh, yeah.
Where he is basically.
Laws.
Yeah, he's basically sexually assaulted by something, right? Is it not a bear? Did they not cover him
in honey? Yeah, it's like.
Something.
Tony Perkis, what happens is the kids get their revenge on him and he gets locked up in a makeshift. Jail cell that's guarded by a ricochet electric fence.
That's right.
And so he's behind there, and then they take his assistant Lars, who is from a distant country, as he puts it, far away.
Yeah, really.
And he's tied to a tree, and they paint him with honey. He's like, you know, there's bears out in these woods, and they're like taunting him.
That's right.
And then they run away, and then they hear him scream, and he goes, you didn't say there were bears in these woods. Like, no, there's no bears. And they run back, and he's being licked in the nipple by a deer. He's like, please help me!
That's right, yeah.
The thing about that movie is it's amazing.
Yeah,
the thing about that movie is...
It's amazing.
Talia, you were going to say what your comedy thing was?
The first thing I remember watching comedy-wise was I Love Lucy.
Classic. Yeah,
and
so good.
I have season one of that, and I think my favorite episode is the Vitamin and Vegemin one, where she gets drunk, and it's like...
It's harder to say the more you have of it.
This stuff is... Have you had this? It's good, because she's drunk, and it's really fun.
Yeah, like, you can't... It's harder to say it the more you have
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, she's like... Yeah. Oh, and
because
I think...
Because it has, like, it's got, like, 20% alcohol. It's basically, like, you know, liquor drink.
Right, I think she mentions, like, do you poop out at parties?
Yeah.
And I don't... At the time, it was fucking hilarious. Watched a lot of I Love Lucy.
You know, I always related with, like, Ricky in that sense of, like, all he wanted her to do was not come to the club so much, and she just would every time he'd ask her not to. And it was like, it worked out.
I always felt akin to the Lucy character, because my entire life I've felt like, I don't care if you don't want me to be here, I'm gonna be the loudest and most entertaining person in this room. You can leave and be mad if you'd like, but everyone's gonna have a great time and I'm here.
Yeah. Exactly. He never learned from the thing of just, like, maybe Lucy brightens the club up.
Yep.
But, like Ricky, Ricky constantly was like, hey, baby, just don't come tonight. And, I know the last 20 times you came, everybody laughed, and we broke records.
Listen, you're a lady, and you don't have any real marketable skills, because you just make people laugh. That's not a real thing.
Well,
so, I'm trying to be a real musician with these drums.
See, that's a scenario that subjectively you should observe more, because objectively it seems like a good idea to not have Lucy just come crash every party you're throwing. But it always works out in the end from the inside, because Lucy is entertaining. And she's actually the reason we're watching the show. You know?
Yeah.
Ricky is
because
more...
Because we love her.
Right, Ricky is the straight man. Well, yeah. I mean, oh.
It's like Everybody Loves Raymond. I hate that show.
Yeah. Oh, I hated that show.
But they told me I loved it. So I'm kind of all right.
Well, that's Robert was like,
oh, my brother's huge, and I'm just mad. But if I do it, oh, jeez, Ma.
Ricky does Ray.
Deborah.
The brother, I watched the first episode of season 2 of Fargo today, and the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Robert.
Everybody the big Raymond. Guy is in Fargo season 2.
Oh, my parents
they had a real deaf
me.
Guy in Fargo to play a deaf guy.
Oh, season 1, yeah.
I don't think it's the same Bradley guy Garrett. From There Will Be Blood. I don't think it's the same guy. Why am I thinking that?
Maybe, I don't know.
There are probably more than one deaf actor.
Well, I believe that, but I feel like, because I think maybe I listened to 2 interviews, maybe about each of them respectively within the same time frame, which is why I'm mashing them up. Anyway, they got a real deaf guy.
Yeah,
dude, they found a real deaf guy.
Wendell, what was your what's your comedy thing? Like, what did you watch or listen to that like was the first thing that made you think I want to do comedy?
Oh shit, that's not fair because I'm not proud of it now.
That makes it better.
After you finish telling us that, I will tell you the horrifying movie that film school over here is going to roll his eyes. That's one of my film top school. 5
That's
faves.
A good nickname.
Eddie Murphy Raw.
Ooh! Why would anyone be mad about that being your first thing?
Like, look back at Eddie Murphy and he's just...
Oh, no, I mean, it's
Raw is so good.
He's kind of phobic, man.
No, I mean, he's bad. If you watch it and you're, like, really very sensitive, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you're right. He's gay. Yeah. He's anti-gay. He's very, like,
he's
weird.
Like,
he's very, like... He's 19 years old, and he's got bravado like the fuck.
I know, dude.
And it's like, oh, God.
How old was he?
He was 19.
Yeah.
When he did Raw?
Yeah.
Covered in leather.
Young, dumb, and full of cum, that guy. Ruining lives everywhere. Oh.
See, I can do Eddie, or I can do Ricky, or I can do Ray Romano. It's just all one different kind of thing, I think.
Can we hear that?
It's like, my brother's huge. Lucy, you got some spreading to do. Or,
and that's Eddie Murphy's left. Yeah, so it's
wow,
like,
they're all the same.
All I gotta do is do a different thing in the same voice, and it's like, it works. It's lazy as fuck. Regardless, I don't know, every time I watch that, it's
like... I
like
movies with Eddie Murphy for real, but like, if you watch a lot of them, most of the 80s ones are super racist.
Oh, yeah,
I watched 48 Hours the other day. It's horrible.
Really?
Or The Chosen.
The entire plot line is that Eddie Murphy is a criminal who needs to help this policeman figure out whatever the crime is, so he has to take him with him to do whatever it is he has to do, like, put it, you know, find this guy, convince this guy to do whatever. And the entire time, it's Nick Nolte, he, like, yells at him and, like, just literally says to his face every horrible thing that anyone's ever said about, like, black people do this. Like, you're going to do that? You're going to steal from me? Or what? Listen, I just got you out of prison. You deserve to be there. Like, all this shit. And I watched it, and I was, like, turned to my husband, like, is there a reason why you put this on? Is this a comedy?
Oh, my gosh.
This kind of seems like a horrible, like... Is this a period piece? This is like 1981 horrible racism movie? Is that what I'm supposed to be taking from this? It was so bad.
I was watching, like, I caught the very end of a movie on TV, like, a few months ago, and it had Jay Leno and the guy that played Mr. Miyagi. And I can't remember what the name of the movie is, but I think Jay Leno was a cop. And at the very end, like, the guy that played Mr. Miyagi was in a wheelchair, and he just told him, like, hey, Mr. Whatever, and he told him something in, like, an Asian language, or made some kind of, like, racist joke, and it was the same, like, what the fuck? Why would what the fuck was anyone thinking?
Yeah, sometimes when you see those things on television, like, when you watch the old stuff, and you're like, whoa, what the hell did they just say?
Yeah.
It's so weird. But there's a lot of other things. I've been watching a lot of 70s and 80s game shows. And
why?
There's a television channel on digital GSN. TV.
Yeah.
No, it's not GSN. It's called Buzzer.
Oh,
UZZR.
Shit.
It's one of the channels on regular digital TV. We don't have cable. We just have the thing. The box. And so it's 7.3. And it's 7.3. That's the channel. And anyway, it's 70s and 80s game shows. And there's a lot of times where they either say something that's like really horrifying, like... like where they asked the woman, like, we asked 100 women, how often does your husband get so mad that he hits you? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Should I really say the right thing? I mean, I'm afraid my husband's going to hit me. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, and everyone in the whole show is just like, delightful, hilarious, true. Maybe we shouldn't ask you.
Yeah, yeah, her husband's like, sitting out there grim face like.
Yeah, it's like horrifying, you know? And, or like the other day they said something about like, it was like the slightest dick joke you could ever possibly imagine. Like it was like, the clues were like, tower and long. And they're like, tower and long. Oh, well, goodness. And, like, no one ever says dick at any point, but they're all looking at each other going, like,
that's all it takes for us.
And that was just like, what the fuck? Like, whoa. We have, like, graphic sex at, like, 4 p.m. on television now. Yeah. But, like, back then they were like, I can't believe he said that. Goodness. Golly gee.
On those game shows.
Golly gee.
Like, a lot of times their guests, like, Paul Lind would always... you know, like, slip in, like, really clever.
Paul Lind is my
like,
favorite.
Sex jokes.
I'm not even going to do it.
Because he was kind of openly gay in Hollywood, so he would make jokes about that all the time. Let's hear it.
To go through... No. I mean, to go through, like... Because I've done Paul Lind in the neighborhood, and I've done it just to
Is it based on Uncle Arthur from Bewitched? BTW?
You're specific? Tight, because... Well, I mean, in the sense of I do an exaggerated version of it, so yes, a little bit, because, like... It's a little harder because, like, Paul Lind is very kind of subtle in his own sense, but there's always that, like, it's like, yeah, it's like, fuck. No, I'm blanking on it now, but it's basically, like, what did Tarzan say when he was found out to be uncircumcised? It's like, you could swing from any vibe, honey. And it's like... And everybody was like, we will talk about Tarzan's dick. I don't know, like, he would do these things where he knew what words he couldn't say, and he knew every inch of where he could go, and then he would just do this, like, real proud of himself kind of laugh, and everybody was like, circle, square, fuck, yeah. Everybody's just getting their shit out through Paul Lind, and he just ran it. Like, the guy defined the line for so long. Like, he knew, nobody ever hit that peak of perfection of him just finding everything he could say. Yeah. Because he was so saucy. Well, so
I don't know, man. You gotta watch Match Game. You gotta come over and watch some Match Game, because they are just straight talking about, like, sex to each other constantly, and it's all veiled, but they're just it's like, when this show, when they're like, cut, they just go fuck in the background. Like, they are just six of them just like, all right, okay, friendly, all right, swing. And it's just like, oh, God, what is happening in that set? It's horrifying. Ick. They were your age at the time.
But now they're so old.
Old people also have.
I know.
Sex.
We had. Sex.
Yeah.
Singled out. That's what I think about. Like, because singled out was pretty much just like the '90s. Because in the '90s, thought it was so cool that it was just like, I'll pile some fucking like Ed Hardy tattoos on something, and. It's different, and it literally was singled out. Was just like Carmen Electra or Jenny McCarthy farting at the top, and then it was the dating game. Did you guys were you guys familiar with
Singled Out? Never watched Singled Out. Did you?
I didn't watch that one.
I watched the episode that was in Boy Meets World.
That's all right, guys.
I love
the thing is Boy Meets World. That's pretty much what's going
on. I'm done. I'm old. I'm sorry.
That's a good callback.
You know,
he talks about
Boy Meets World is?
Earlier.
Three times.
Last time I made a reference to This Is Your Life, and you like paused and spoke to the non-existent audience about how I made a super old reference. So don't like act like you're the ancient.
No. That's the thing is all of a sudden
I watch Boy Meets World.
The mirror is spun upon itself right now, and I'm just going like, there's three people that I don't know that don't know what Singled Out is. And all of a sudden
I'm with you. I'm not a shit bag. You know?
I know what it is.
This instrument is so pretty. I just wanted to point it out. This microphone that we're speaking to is gold and shimmery, and it looks
silver.
Like just a
silver.
It's silver.
It's silver.
Oh, am I colorblind?
Don't tell him.
Oh, I mean, just shit, kidding. It's
just
gold.
Figure that out now.
Oh, maybe my dad's colorblind, so I might be. Oh,
well, you know shit. You're wearing a pink shirt, right?
What?
Oh, no.
That's exactly the perfect.
No, yeah, this is great. This is a great stopping point.
I was like, I'll stop right there. Please. Oh yeah. Thanks for listening to Yes But Why podcast.